bless you. It's good to hear from that group and these singers every time we get together like this. There's no two ways in ten about it. If that right there singing tonight couldn't make you have a little shout on the inside, you probably got a dead cell in your battery, and you need to get something done, trade that in, get a different water, or something like that right there. If you do, try to get one that lasts more than 5 years, because the five-year battery won't give you but about 3 years service anyway, and then it'll leave you on the side of the road somewhere. All right, take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Deuteronomy this evening. Deuteronomy is where we're going to be looking at. It's good to be saved and know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And we thank God for the privilege to be able to gather together like this here again tonight. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 10, if you find the place you're able to stand, notice, if you will, please, in verse number 12, if you're able to stand, we'll start there. And he said, "Now, Israel, what doeth the Lord thy God require of thee?" Well, he's fixing to tell you. "But to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all of his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord, is the Lord's, and thy God, the earth also, and with all that is therein. Now the Lord hath a delight in the fathers to love them, and he hath chose their seed after them, even you above all the people as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, and a great God, and a mighty and terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." That's going to be our text verse there for a moment. And I want to preach a little while on, you can't buy off God. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart tonight. We thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray you bind the devil, have a demon assigned to hinder. Have we plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while on you can't buy off God. You know, in the day and hour that we're living in, somehow another people think that if they can flip a holy chip or two toward God, that that's all that's going to be necessary. I got news for you, is that God will not regard that not only your gift, but how much you're giving. Now, it's amazing that God's got his eye upon you and the truth of God, and the truth is from God, and but he's got his eye upon it. And let me tell you, he said not only that, but he'll show you how you felt about it one of these days. Now listen, do you know God's got his eye upon you and your faithfulness to God? God's got his eye upon you and your tithing. God's got his eye upon you and your service. I guarantee you right now, I had a young man one time, you know, at the end of the year, our secretary is always good to give people out for those that want it. Anybody, they all get it, whether you use it or not. And that you can have your contribution of tithes and offerings. You can get it took off your income tax if you desire to do so and all that like that. We had a man that I forget now what he said. He said, "I will talk to you, preacher. I can't believe that I gave so little." I said, "Yeah, you surprised me too, and I don't even know how much was it." I mean, it was like $2 or something all year long. Well, God bless you. I just was wondering if I hit the $2 jackpot this evening because, see, in the lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you, make no mistake about it, what does God require but that you and I stay true to his word and to follow his instruction and so forth and therein. Now, I was listening to a preacher the other day, and many moons ago now, but the other day, and here's what he said. And he was beating people up, you know, about the fact that sometimes that you'll take and you'll buy Coca-Cola with that money that you could have just went ahead and given to the Lord. Don't listen to that crackpot. If you pay your tithe, if you give tithes like God said and give a mission offering above your tithe, you can do whatever you want to with the rest of it. And every now and again, I like a Coke and I like a candy bar. I was at a conference one time. They're just eating people up one side and down the other about going fishing. Not on Sunday, that ought to be something taboo, but anyhow, they're just about going and fishing, wasted money on a boat and this and that. Where they messed up is when they called me up. I got up there and said, "I hadn't even thought about it till you told me I couldn't,
I can't hardly wait to go home and go fishing. Now, does that make me less of a Christian than it does that person? No, it does not. Now, you ought to honor the Lord's day because it's the Lord's day. And you ought to acknowledge the word of the Lord and do what's right in the sight of God. But I'll tell you something. If you've done your part to be able to obey the Lord, you ought to be able to enjoy something about life every now and again up and down the road of life. I want to say to you that in this chapter that we're looking at, did you notice there that the requirement of God is given there in verse number 12 as we begin to look at it? I'm going to tell you that's all that God requires, whatever God's laid down by the word of the Lord and by the Holy Spirit of God that he's pinned down the pages of Holy Writ. You'll find that's what God requires of you. Now, let me tell you another thing there in verse number 12 and 13 is that it talks about the reach of God. I'm going to tell you, God will reach down farther than you can reach up. But you're going to have to come God's way. It's going to be the blood-bought way. And let me say to you that heaven and earth is tied unto the blessed word of the Lord and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find that in chapter number 10, verse number 14, is that you'll find, behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, of thy God, and the earth also and all therein. You know what that tells me? Is that that's the reach of God. But he not just controlling a little bit here down here at Appleby Baptist. Listen, friend, heaven of heavens and the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And make no mistake about it is that you'll find that he's in control, that he's in charge, he's in authority. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that here's what I've always noticed about people that when they go to getting away from God. Maybe I should talk about when people get away from Sears or something like that. You ain't got a Sears. I don't want to be like that preacher, you know, that was preaching. He got up there and before the deacon told him, said, now listen, man. He said, we got a few people in here that don't like to hear you preach about tithing. And he said, okay. Well, we also got some people in here and they don't like you to preach about, you know, how to live right and walk right and talk right. About anti-beer drinking, liquor drinking, this and that. They like to do that a little bit. He said, okay, I understand. And he said, after a list of things that was given, he said to the man, he said, well, what do you think I could preach on? He said, that's a toughie. That's going to be a toughie. How about witchcraft? We ain't had a witch through here in a long time. That's probably what's wrong with the average Baptist. Make no mistake about it, dear friend. There's only one way to miss hell and make heaven. It's through a person, and his name's the Lord Jesus Christ. My question to all of you that are here is that, do you know him? Do you know him? Have you trusted him as your Lord and your Savior? Now, I want you to notice, if you will, please, in the lesson, is that the redeemed of God is mentioned. And let me tell you something. If you came to know him in the free pardon of sin, it was the greatest day of your life when you got washed by the blood, saved by the grace of God, and born into the family of God. You know what the Bible teaches us about, that if you're not careful, you'll go to thinking the Lord's put off his coming. You know what will happen to you women? You go to showing more skin. You go to thinking that the Lord, you know, and by the way, let me just say to you that if you will, make no mistake about it, is that in the day and hour we're living in, you know, used to, if you went down to the coast, we call it the coast now. It used to, before we got saved, it was the beach, now it's the coast, no pun intended. I like to go every now and again. I have seen some of the people, you know, some old gal, you know, and she was, I don't know, she looked to me like just analyzing her on the hoof. She looked like she weighed somewhere around 3.5 or 400 pounds. And buddy, she had on a t-shirt and it said something about, I like to let it all hang out. I said, well, sister, you got your wish. It's hanging everywhere. Fact is, I doubt seriously that you could have covered it up. I said all that to say this. I told my wife, I'm going to get you a bathing suit like that one of these days. Well, you're wasting your ever-loving time. Then she goes to preaching to me for even cracking a joke like that. You see what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that when God brought Israel over there into the land of Egypt, there was about 70 persons at that time. before it was all said and done, they were like the stars of the sky that had already begun to spread across because of the promise that God gave unto them. Now, I want to say that in this lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, is that there's a divine charge in verse number 1 of chapter number 11. That divine charge is that we ought to be serving him by love. You ought not to be having to get up on a Sunday morning, you know, and Wednesday night, and oh my, is it time to go to church and gripe and belly ache and this and that. And if you got to do that, well, go ahead and come anyhow. Maybe God will bless you in spite of yourself. But let me tell you, the Bible said we ought to serve him by love, that we ought to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our well-being, our soul, so forth and on. You know, old very first John chapter 5, the Bible said here, this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments. Did you realize, though, that when a person is going to show how they love God, it's by obedience to the word of the Lord. In fact, is in 1 John chapter number 2, about verse number 3 and number 4, you're going to find that over there that he reminds people that he that saith that I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth's not in him. I was witnessing to a person one time. They hadn't been to church in God only knows how long. And I said, well, don't you think it's about time for you to come to know the Lord? And when I say they hadn't been to church, they're in church, out of church, more out than it was in. And let me say to you that if you will, and they got mad, and I said, here's a passage here that argues your point. And here's what it says. It says in 1 John chapter number 2 that hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that saith that I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth's not in him. And they looked at me real hostile. You trying to call me a liar, preacher? I said, oh no, but the Lord is. See, I mean, that's the word of the Lord. I mean, it's sort of like that old boy that was driving down the road, you know. And all of a sudden, the police pulled him over, riding a horseback. And he's held him out there, and he's talking to him, browbeating him. He said, well, man, I didn't even know y'all still rode horses. Yeah, right here close to the city limits like that, right there we do. And he looked at him there for a few minutes, and, of course, it was a big old horse fly. And as a result of that, he was fighting him, trying to write the guy a ticket and fighting that old fly off. And it wasn't long until... the guy that's getting the ticket said, officer, you know what that is? That's a circle fly. Circle fly? What do you mean by that? Why, he keeps on circling back, you know, and all of that, and you can't hit him and this and that. And he says, what are you trying? Are you trying in a nice way? Tell me, you think I'm the horse's behind? No, sir, I am not. But that fly is. I just want to tell you every now and again, you and I are going to run upon somebody somewhere that doesn't have a clue what it means to come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Years ago, there was an old preacher, and I'm talking about this is the truth of the matter, and I could call his name and everything. He's in glory now. But he made the statement, here's what he said. He said, we're talking about Baptist dyed-in-the-wool fella. He said, I'm afraid from the churches I've been in and from the what I'm looking at, what I'm seeing, I'm afraid that 98% of Baptists are going to bust hell wide open. I want to tell you about chapter number 11 and verse number 2. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which ye have not seen, the chastisement of the Lord your God and the greatness of his mighty hand and stretched out arm. And then he goes on about his miracles, so forth and on. Now I'm going to tell you what God's done is that God's saying, I'm not talking to these children that never seen anything, don't know anything. I'm talking about you that have seen the hand of God and seen God move in their behalf. I want to say to you that it's a duty to you and I to be able to teach our children, to teach their children, to teach their children how to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I want to tell you, he begins to remind them about those that didn't want to do that. In fact, is in this chapter here, in Deuteronomy chapter number 11, you'll find out that he reminds us in that chapter, he reminds us about the children of Dathan, which were Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and he reminds them how that their eyes had seen the great good acts of God, and yet they wanted to argue with the man of God that God had left in charge by the name of Moses, until finally the earth opened up and swallowed them up and destroyed them in a moment. I want to say to you that, if you will please, that in chapter number 11, in verse number 12, there's a passage that we ought to look at. And the Bible says, "And the land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass that if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I commanded you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then I'm going to give you rain in your land, in the land you're going in due season." Now, you know what they did over there in the land of Egypt? Well, verse 10 of chapter number 11 is they had to either tote water or either dig ditches. And then if you wasn't a water toter, you was a ditch digger trying to get water to crops and things of necessity. I want to say to you, in the land where God was going to be pleased with, there's what he said, "I'm going to do. I'm going to let it rain from heaven. You're not going to have to worry about digging ditches, and you're not going to have to worry about toting water. I'm going to let rain fall from heaven." Now, in closing tonight, I want to tell you the reason being, it's because this is a place that the Bible said that God careth for. Now, do you know what it means whenever you look at that word, careth? It means to tread and to be frequent about checking upon it. God said every now and again, "I'm going to look and see what's going on, see how your heart is, where your walk's at, your talk's at, and so forth and on." And he said, "I will tell you, this land that I care for, I've been watching it and taking care of it frequently." Hey, that's a good thought, isn't it? You know, all around me, I've got kids all around me and close to me. And, you know, pretty much all of them are busy checking up on me and their inheritance. No, I want to see if you're even paying attention. I've got one daughter that calls me on Father's Day, wish you a happy Father's Day, Christmas, or Thanksgiving, a couple, three times a year. Now, let me just tell you something right now. Is that, make no mistake about it, God's interest, that's the way people go to church. They don't care about it frequently. They don't care about it on a weekly basis. They're weekly, W-E-A-K-L-Y, instead of W-E-E-K-L-Y. God said when he looked down upon this earth, you'll find out that it's a land that God careth for. It means to follow. It means to seek after. It means to worship him and be obedient unto him. Now, I want to ask you this here as we get ready to close. See, God sees everything from the beginning all the way to the end. Now, he's looking at your life, and he's looking at my life. How faithful were we last year? See? I mean, we're going to stand before thrice holy God. How faithful have you been in the work of God? You ever notice how that whenever you were a kid and you started out, and it was easy, you know. Everything was nice. You learned Jesus loves me, this I know. And you learned all of that stuff and so forth and so on. And then you got your first check. And they tried to teach you about tithing. And oh, my word, you thought all hell had broke loose. See what I'm talking about? It ought to be a privilege to come to the house of God, a privilege to serve God, a privilege to tithe unto God, a privilege to be his mouthpiece and spokesman and a witness for the cause of Christ. It's a privilege. I want to say to you that, if you will, that whenever you come to the Lord on a regular basis, do you come with all of your heart, with all of your soul? You know, I've literally had people say, "Well, you know, now preacher, I don't think it's as important to go to church on a regular basis like you do." Oh yeah? You got a different Bible or something? Because I'm fixing to want to see it. I'm fixing to show you in this Bible where God said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourself together," as a matter of some is, and exhort one another so much more the day you see the day approaching. You know what that is? That's the coming of the Lord. See? If I get to where I'm a little lackadaisical and dragging feet, I hope one of you will love me enough to say, hey, preacher, don't you remember all them years you were tearing our hide up about going to church and now here you're not? See what I'm talking about? I will say to you that, if you will, that out of all these years and out of all, and let me tell you something. So I listened to it the other day in Walmart. It talked about an old boy was singing some country western song, and he said people are telling him all the time, you know, that money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat, he sung. And I want to tell you something right now. I'm for having a boat if you can have one. If you don't like to fish, okay, there's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't make you more or less, better or worse, one way or the other. I like the deer hunt. But, you know, it's just so expensive. So I go ahead and go anyway, but I never did buy a boat, a truck. Some of you envy me that truck. I'll sell it to you cheap. Give you $200 in gasoline money to get away with it. But you won't make it far with that. I said all that to be able to let you realize and know I'm not driving a truck on God's money. I'm not riding a boat on God's money. I'm not living in a house on money that belongs to God. God has been good to me. And if you think for one instance, and I know right now you'd like to be able to jump in here and trade places with me and this and that, but you don't know how it was, you know, for those years that we had to have wind pudding. You know what wind pudding is? Oh. Just kind of blow through. It's not real filling. And I want to tell you right up front, dear friend, make no mistake about it. God's been looking at my life. I've been trusting him and eating out of God's hand ever since I got saved by the grace of God. I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled to be a part of the family of God. I've got more, but that's enough for tonight, because of the fact is that I realize and know that we don't want to give the whole feed bowl to one sitting of folks that come to get it till another day. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Now, Father, I want to say thank you for loving us while we've been unlovable. Or these special requests that have been mentioned tonight, thou knowest. There may be a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, a young man, a young lady, but you've been knocking on their heart's door, and they'd say, preacher, I've been troubled deep down in my soul about what God's trying to do in my life. Now, Lord, I want to pray especially for them. May they come to know thee in the free pardon of sin. And we pray you'd build a hedge about them. In Jesus' name we pray.